come in between. And I said, no, I think we have short enough announcements that we won't need that. I don't know if you've ever studied how the Jews actually do observe and keep the Passover and the Days of Unleavened Bread. They keep the Days of Unleavened Bread with great strife, with great worry, with great digging into, so to speak, to seek out leaven. They don't just vacuum and then throw the vacuum cleaner bag away. They don't just dust, but they go to great detail. Every crack in the floor, every crack in the wood, they get down with a toothpick or a toothbrush, and they get in it, and they scratch and scratch and scratch to make sure that there's no hidden leaven in it. Now, why would they go to that type of worry? Why would they think it's necessary? Are there any lessons that could be learned from cleaning for the Days of Unleavened Bread? Why would somebody go to that extreme? They actually take a candle. Some might today take a flashlight, I don't know. But the tradition is they take a candle and they go into every nook and cranny and they make sure for the light of the candle that there is no leaven that is hidden there. So my question today is, are there spiritual ramifications for being so tenacious, for being so thorough in cleaning out leaven? In 1 Corinthians 5, 1 Corinthians 5 and verses 1 through 8, we read that the Apostle Paul addresses how immorality, how sin affects God's church. And he says, sadly, it is actually reported that there is sexual immorality among you. And such sexual immorality as is not even named among the Gentiles, that a man has his father's wife. And you are puffed up, drawing the analogy that the leavening puffed them up, and have not rather mourned, but he who has done this deed might be taken away from among you. For indeed, as absent in the body, but present in spirit, have already judged, as though I were present, him who has done this deed. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together along with my spirit in the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, deliver such a one to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Your glorying is not good. He said they were puffed up and vain about accepting this sinner, this individual that was blatantly, openly sinning with his father's wife. I assume from the way this is written, this was not his mother, but his mother-in-law. But it could have been. The Greek really is not clear there. It could have been even his own mother. But he said that you're vain and puffed up and your glorying's not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? That just a little bit is enough to leaven everything. Therefore, purge out the leaven that you may be a new lump, since you truly are unleavened. For indeed, Christ our Passover was sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Here in two verses, verses 6 through 8 of 1 Corinthians 5, Paul uses the word leaven and unleavened 7 times in two verses. One would think that Paul was certainly trying to draw a spiritual analogy from the physical state that they found themselves in, because, as he said, they were unleavened. They were physically unleavened. They were, quote, observing the Days of Unleavened Bread. But this was a type of a deep spiritual lesson that the Apostle Paul wanted them to learn. 1 Corinthians 5 was written about 55 A.D., during the days of unleavened bread. Paul told this Gentile church, these were not Jews, these were not proselytes, these were Gentiles. 24 years after Christ was crucified, 24 years after everything that was, quote, nailed to the cross was nailed to the cross, 24 years after everything that was, quote, done away had been done away, and the Apostle Paul tells them and instructs this Gentile church to keep the feast, to keep the Feast of Unleavened Bread. He taught them about the meaning of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, to keep it in spirit, not just in the physical letter of the law. In Matthew 16 and verse 1. Matthew 16 and verse 1 through 7. Then the Pharisees and the Sadducees came, and testing him, they asked him that he would show them a sign from heaven. And he answered and said unto them, when it is the evening, you say, it'll be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning it will be foul weather, for the sky is red and threatening. I said, you bunch of hypocrites. You know how to discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the signs of the times. A wicked and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and no sign shall be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. And he left them and departed. And, of course, Jonah was in the heart of the great fish for 3 days and three nights, Christ showing that that would be the sign that he would be in the grave 3 days and three nights. And then he departed in verse 5, and now when his disciples had come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. And Jesus said unto them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. And they reasoned among themselves, that's their first mistake, saying, it is because we have taken no bread. And they couldn't figure out why Christ would warn them, well, stay away from the leaven that the Pharisees have, because we needed to make bread. And they didn't comprehend it. But Christ clearly labeled the deadly sins of the Pharisees, but the disciples just did not get it. They just didn't understand it. And they thought that it was all a physical analogy, where Christ was trying to teach them a spiritual analogy through the physical. And they thought he was just talking about food, because they were out of food. And yet Christ used this as a type of the wrong attitude, a type of sin. In verse 8, continuing through verse 12, but Jesus, being aware of it, said unto them, O ye of little faith, why do you reason among yourselves, because you have brought no bread? Do you not yet understand or remember the 5 loaves and the 5,000 and how many baskets you took up? Nor the 7 loaves and the 4,000 and how many large baskets you took up? How is it that you do not understand that I do not speak to you concerning bread, but to beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees? And then they understood that he did not tell them to beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. So here Christ used a physical analogy to teach a spiritual concept and spiritual lessons. He used this physical analogy of the leaven, which pictured the Pharisees and Sadducees' sins and their rebellion, and he taught them then a spiritual lesson, which they finally began to understand. So these days are a physical reminder of putting physical and spiritual sin out of our life by putting the physical leaven out of our life. How do we prepare or keep the days of unleavened bread? I know some were telling me when I came in about how they got a stool and sat down and cleaned out their refrigerator and started at the top and went to the bottom and so forth. And some were saying they've got muscles they didn't know they had that they discovered from cleaning so hard that now they're sore and this type of thing. But why do all of this? Is there something we're supposed to learn, or is it just a matter of a good, quote, spring house cleaning, end quote? Is there a spiritual lesson or lessons that we are to learn? The type of leavening that they used in the Old Testament was not like our modern Arm & Hammer. It didn't come in a tin cup, and it didn't come in a box that you open and put in the refrigerator or something else. Leaven was produced by a process of fermentation. Betty used to make sourdough bread, some of the best bread that I personally have ever had. I tried to make some bread Friday, and it turned out horrible. It was just terrible. I thought I followed the recipe, but something went wrong. I didn't hold my mouth right or something. I don't know what happened, but it was a tragedy. She wouldn't even eat it, and I did eat a little bit of it, and the rest of it we'll wind up throwing away. But she used to make some wonderful homemade bread, and she got a, quote, starter, which was the leaven that she got from someone else, and then she would get this starter piece, and then she would let it ferment the dough and rise and so forth, because a little leaven does leaven the whole lump. And then she would take a lump out of that and keep it for the next batch. And then she would use that lump to go ahead and spread the leaven through that particular batch. And it is amazing how that a little leaven does leaven the entire complete lump. It takes approximately 7 days to be able to get the new starter to ferment and to be ionized with the leaven. And it's interesting, I think, that the days of unleavened bread last for 7 days. Bacteria is actually what causes the dough to ferment and to begin the process then that forms the leaven. And any time you have food and bacteria, you run a risk of contamination. You run a risk of poisoning. As you can imagine, a starter piece would be passed from one household, to another, just like she got her first start. And each time, the risk grows greater and greater because of the pollution that is going through. Now, how leaven was produced, leaven was known as leaven or sourdough bread, and sour as opposed to unleavened or sweet bread, as it was called in the Old Testament. Leaven was produced, like I said, from this process of fermentation, from a process basically of rotting, as we would term it. Leaven actually means to ferment or to sour. Yeast spores were not used in the Old Testament as a common type of leavening in either the Old or the New Testament, for that matter. In earlier times, leaven was made from fine white bread, kneaded the dough with the meal of certain plants such as vetch or fetch or from barley, and they'd mix that with water and then allow it to sour. It was kept until it passed into a state of fermentation, and then the leaven would be present. And then they had their starter batch. So they would always take off a chunk, just like Betty would do, and keep that as their, quote, starter. And then the next time they wanted to cook bread, they would take that, they would knead it in with the dough and make sure that the leaven spread all about, and then they would again take out a batch and they would keep it, and then the next time do the same thing. And so once they got the starter batch, then it was easy just to take out a pinch, to take out a chunk, so to speak, of dough to use with the next batch. And it did not require a 7-day waiting period or anything like that. It didn't require the fermentation process for it to go through. And so here we find that leaven, though, could be deadly. Anything, any type of food that rots, any type of food that ferments, does contain bacteria, and bacteria that could possibly be harmful to the human body. So I believe that once a year, God made sure that all of the leaven that was passed from household to household to household, that once a year it was all destroyed and they would start all over again. And that way he protected his people. That they, if they did have a bad batch, if somebody had gotten sick, then it would not be carried on then to others. And so once a year, they had to start all over and begin their own starting point of a starter piece, as it were, a fermentation process. So during the days of unleavened bread, all leaven was destroyed. None of it was kept. It was all burned. It was all taken away. It was completely destroyed. I think this was a valuable tool that God used for social and national safety and cleanliness, that this type of leavening, again, literally could be dangerous. And any time something does ferment or rot, it could. There's always a possibility of some bad bacteria, such as Staphylococcus or E. coli or Salmonella or botulism even, could set in. So if the starter batch of dough that was retained from each subsequent batch of dough was tainted, then it would be passed on down, the infection would be passed on with that on all the subsequent bread dough in the continuing sequence. And so God says, okay, once a year, we're going to take this decaying state and we're going to totally get rid of it. We're going to get rid of the corruption. We're going to get rid of the uncleanness. And anytime, like I said, something rots or ferments, you do have a chance of bad bacteria. So once a year, God commanded the leavening was to be burnt, that it was to be destroyed, and any infection thereby would be protecting God's people because they did not keep this decaying thing going on continuously and continuously. By not putting the leaven out and starting fresh, they literally could have faced death. And so I think we kind of lose that aspect with our modern day Arm & Hammer and our boxes and our cans of clean powder, because that's not the way that leaven was produced in the Old Testament. There are three words for leavening in the Bible. First of all, M-E-C-H-A-M-E-T-Z. M-E-C-H-A-M-E-T-Z. And it refers to a leavening agent, a substance that is used to puff up or to ferment, such as yeast, bicarbonate of soda or baking soda, and baking powder. The second word is chasmus, C-H-A-M-E-T-Z, C-H-A-M-E-T-Z. And it refers to foods that are leavened or have been leavened. All foods that contain leaven so that it rises. And then the third word is sheol, S-H-E-O-H-D, which Hebrew means sourdough, a naturally fermenting, yeasty batter. So consequently, these items were to be put out of the house. The yeast, the baking soda, the baking powder in our modern day. And we have seen that the command to put the leaven out of our homes and off of our property was one to protect God's people. Breads, crackers, cookies, pizza, ice cream cones, some pie dough. I understand most pie dough is not leavened, but some is. Some matzos are leavened. When you go to the store and buy matzos, if you do so for the Days of Unleavened Bread, be sure and check, because some matzos are now leavened. And most are not, but some are. Those things need to be removed from our home. The following items are okay. People have a question about brewer's yeast, because it has the name yeast in it. Brewer's yeast is inert. It's dead. It is not a leavening agent. It will not make bread rise. Cream of tartar by itself is not a leavening agent. Only when it is mixed with eggs, then it causes the cake or bread, whatever, to rise. Yeast extract. Derivatives of yeast are not yeast agents, and again, will not make food rise. You'll find it many times in pet foods and some human foods, yeast extract, and that's fine. It's not a leavening agent. I think we do need to become somewhat like the Jews, not to that extent, to where we're down on our hands and knees necessarily with a toothbrush, trying to get every crack in the floor. But we do need to concentrate on the meaning and the spiritual application of what sin does to us as a body, as a church, as a people, and as individuals. We also need to become label conscious. Like I said, when you pick up a box of matzos, our nachos, if you get nachos, don't just take for granted that they're okay, but look at it and see if it does have yeast in it. We need to check the labels. I think during this time of year is a time to share. The Jews take this time of year to forgive sins. They make it a point to try to go to anyone that they feel that they have harmed, to go to anyone that they feel that has a grudge against them, and they apologize, and they ask for forgiveness, and they ask that they would be pardoned from whatever sin or egregious thing that they have done, and they ask the individuals then to pardon them and forgive them. This is really so during the Day of Atonement, when they really, really pour themselves out to others. But I think that's a good lesson for us during the Days of Unleavened Bread, that we share with each other, that we take care of each other, that we watch for each other. Wouldn't it be wonderful if some volunteered to go to so-and-so's house and to clean for them because they know that they're not able to do so, that they're handicapped in some way or whatever, and they're just not able to get down or bend down or get on their knees or whatever it might take. And so they would go over and at least partially clean the places that they know that the individual is not able to get. But I think it's something that we can share all together, such as recipes for the Days of Unleavened Bread. Some of you have some delicious, wonderful recipes that we can share one with another. And there's no need to just keep it selfishly, so to speak, but rather to share, because I think it is a time that we do go out of our way to help and aid each other. One of the things that I have seen through the years, but it seems that during the Days of Unleavened Bread, we become the most selfish of any other time of the year. We concentrate on ourselves. We've thought prior to the Passover about ourselves. We've examined ourselves. We found ourselves coming short. And we begin to turn into ourself and look to ourself. And when the day should draw us out to where we're giving one to another. I think it's a special time on the holy days to where when we bring in our unleavened food that is special, that is something that we've really, you know, thought about, planned, taken some time with and thought with and really make something special for these holy days that God has given us. It is a time of share. It doesn't matter if you're, quote, assigned that Sabbath or not to bring snacks. Give. Share. Be willing to give of yourself. Make it a family project. When we clean, make it a family project. Fellas, it's not all the wife's responsibility. It's your responsibility as the head of the house, and then it's the wife's responsibility under you. But you should help with the cleaning. Why should she have to do it all herself? Is she the only one that has sins? Oh, really? Okay. Now, make it a family project. Get the kids involved. Clean and vacuum the whole house. That can be everybody's job and responsibility. That can be all to help clean the stove and the refrigerator. Clean behind the stove when possible. Some don't pull out anymore, but most do. Clean your beds and your couch and your chairs and your toaster and your refrigerators and vacuum cleaners. I remember when Betty and I first married, someone had given us as a wedding gift a toaster. And I got a toothpick and I got a toothbrush. And I worked 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 on that thing until finally I threw it away. And we didn't have a toaster for years and years and years because of that. Because every time I'd shake it, more would come out. And I thought, well, I haven't gotten it all. And I'd go back in there and I'd scrub and I took the bottom off and I took it apart and I did this and that. And finally, I just threw it away. And we do now have a toaster, and we clean it, we wash it, and I take it outside, and I've got an air compressor, and so I blow it out and shake it and do everything I can. But we do keep it now because I think it is clean, certainly, hopefully, in God's eyes, and hopefully our lives are clean because we should not have sin. We should not have leaven. We need to get rid of it. Clean out the garage. Clean out the car. Don't leave the leaven in the vacuum cleaner. Make sure that you take the bag out once you finish with your cleaning and throw the bag away. Try to use up certainly as much leaven as you want before the days of unleavened bread. And don't forget the freezer. Don't forget the refrigerator. That anniversary cake that you were saving for your next anniversary, gotta go. Sorry. In Exodus 23 and verses 18 and 19. Exodus 23 and verses 18 and 19. A couple of very interesting verses here. Exodus 23 and verse 18. You shall not offer the blood of my sacrifice with leavened bread, nor shall the fat of my sacrifice remain until morning. The first of the first fruits of your land shall you bring into the house of the Lord your God. You shall not boil a young goat in its mother's milk. Now you're thinking, yep, there Cowan goes again, reading the wrong verses. But let me read to you what the KND commentary says about Exodus 23 and verses 18 through 19. The blessing attending their appearing before the Lord was dependent upon the feast being kept in the proper way by the observance of three rules laid down in Exodus 23, verses 18 and 19. You shall not offer the blood of my sacrifice upon unleavened bread. As in Exodus 12 and verse 8, denoting the basis upon which the sacrifice was offered. The meaning has been correctly given by the early commentators, as long as there is any leavened bread in your houses, or until the leaven has been entirely removed from your houses. So the reference made here to the removal of leaven and the expression, the blood of my sacrifice, both point to the paschal lamb, which is Jesus Christ, which was regarded as a sacrifice of Jehovah on account of its great importance. Onkelos gives us this explanation, my Passover for my sacrifice. And so here we keep the feast of the days of unleavened bread of the Passover properly. All leaven must be removed. All leaven has to be removed from our home and off of our property, and mainly all leaven has to be removed from our lives spiritually. You work and you work and you work and you think you've got all the leaven out, and then sure enough, here you find some. I remember one year, right at the middle of the days of unleavened bread, and my wife opened her lingerie drawer, and there was a biscuit right in the middle of the drawer. Now, how in the world that biscuit got there, she had no idea. I have no idea. But it got there, and it was there. And it's amazing how I don't think God could have picked anything other than like bread and leaven to show us our sins so vividly. When we first got married, I believe it was our first time to observe the days of unleavened bread as husband and wife, we were out visiting, and visiting members, and we went in a little restaurant, and I wanted a hamburger. And here, my dear, darling, sweet, gentle wife says, no, hon, you don't want a hamburger. I looked at her and I thought, yes, I do. I want a hamburger. And she said, Bill, you don't want a hamburger? I said, I want a hamburger. And then finally she said, Bill, you don't want a hamburger. And I looked at the waitress and I said, I don't want a hamburger. And I bet she thought, what a poor, mealy-mouthed guy that this was. But it is amazing. You can be right in the middle of the days of unleavened bread and chew on a sandwich before you even think about it. Or take that biscuit or whatever it might be. Leaven creeps in so easily. I don't think that God could have come up with another analogy that is so vivid about our sins and how easy it is for it to wind up in the lingerie drawer. We used to have a poodle. We have a little Bichon Frise now. But we had a poodle named Bon Bon, and they were building a house next door to us in North Little Rock. And, Chattanooga. We were in Chattanooga at the time, I'm sorry. And Bon Bon, I guess, stole it. I don't know where she got it, but I assume from one of the workers over there. Here she came, just as proud as she could be, dragging this loaf of bread, which was about bigger than her, longer than her, and here she had it in her mouth, trying to drag it, and she came to the back door, whining and wanting in, and Betty opens the door, and here she drug in a loaf of bread, an entire loaf of bread that had not been opened. It's amazing how leaven can come in so easily and you don't think about it. And that's the same with our sin. So often, we do not approach the days of unleavened bread and the Passover properly to examine ourselves, to really see how God hates sin. Sin caused the death of His beloved Son. Sin caused the death of a God so that it could pay the penalty for your sins. We cannot enter the days of unleavened bread nor the Passover with an unrepentant heart, with a heart that has not been de-leavened, with a heart that has not had the vanity pulled out of us. It's not the days of unleavened tires or dog food or fish food or pillows or inflated balloons or something like that. Good news, you don't have to let all the air out of your tires. That's not what it's talking about, being puffed up. Certainly we should clean, and we should clean diligently. But you should not spend more hours looking for crumbs than you spend in prayer and Bible study preparing for and looking forward to the Passover and the days of unleavened bread and looking for hidden sins and self-righteousness in our own lives. Valuable time that you spend looking for and searching for that hidden leaven that has fallen in a crack of your heart. That's what pleases God. It seems like we go to two extremes. I have often said it seems as though God's people suffer from ditchism. We run along in this ditch, and then we'll cross the middle ground about as quick as we can, stumbling across, trying to get over so fast, and then we go down this ditch, and then we'll cross back over here. Well, I have seen people that are so totally worn out, exhausted from cleaning for the days of unleavened bread, that they're literally too sick to come to church service on the holy days. They're too sick to keep the remaining feast. And that's not what God wants. And then I have seen others that go to the other ditch, and they exert little or no effort, and they miss out on so much of the deep spiritual meaning of the days of unleavened bread. Sin is hard to get out of our lives. Sin is habit forming. It takes work. It takes effort. It takes elbow grease and the bending of the knee before God and using a tremendous cleaning agent of the power of His Holy Spirit to get the sin, the leaven, out of our life. David cried out in a beautiful psalm, Psalm 51, David's deep, deep prayer of repentance. I would encourage each of you to take Psalm 51 on your knees and read it before God and interject thoughts about yourself and how you need God's help and how you need to be cleansed. But in Psalm 51 in verse 2, David cried out to God and he said, "Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin." He asked God to clean him up. He asked God to wash his brain out, to give him a good brain washing. He asked God to totally, completely purify him. And in verse 7, he said, "Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow." Hyssop was an exceptionally strong cleaning agent that they had in the Old Testament. And he asked God just to take the hyssop and to take a scouring pad, as it were, and just clean him up, to wash him, to make him whiter than snow. And, of course, white was a symbol of righteousness. It is okay to help others de-level if they're not physically able to do it. Many are sick. Some are handicapped. Some mothers have new babies and some elderly. I ask you to ask for help if you need it. What about non-baptized mates? You cannot force them to observe any of the holy days. You cannot force them to keep the days of unleavened bread. But ask them. Explain to them. Sit down and explain why you're going to keep the days of unleavened bread. And if he demands his leavened products, then have them in the house. God has not called him yet, and he does not understand. Don't bake anything with leaven. You could buy him biscuits or cake or whatever he wants, but don't fix it from scratch and bake it. Bake him and your family delicious unleavened bread recipes. Make the days of unleavened bread very special. And your husband will see that and say, wow, man, that was good. I wish you'd do that more often. And then you can say, yeah, that was unleavened. And because there are some wonderful, wonderful unleavened bread recipes that are there. But make it special. Make it special for the kids. Put something extra in their lunchbox because they can't have sandwiches. Put something special in there for them and make it an enjoyable time for your mate and for your family. You know, God does give us physical things to teach us spiritual lessons and spiritual principles. He gives us baptism, foot washing, the bread and wine that we'll partake of at the Passover, the laying on of hands, anointing, and so forth. All these are physical things that illustrate spiritual lessons. The days of unleavened bread are extremely important to God, and they should be to us as well. Let's make sure that we prepare for and observe and keep the spring festival season in the way that God has ordained. Let's show God our appreciation and our thankfulness for the great sacrifice that Jesus Christ paid so that you could have your sins forgiven. Put the leaven out.